This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of the Almighty be upon one and all. Indeed, it is a very, very happy moment. I start off by saying Alhamdulillah. All praise is indeed due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the nourisher, the cherisher, the sustainer, the provider, the protector, the curer, the one in whose hands lies the control of entire existence. We send blessings and salutations as well upon all the messengers of the Almighty, the prophets whom we will be speaking about this evening. We ask the Almighty to bless them, to bless the companions, to bless the household of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as every one of us and all those to come up to the end. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and guide us and keep us rightly guided. My brothers, my sisters, it is my first time in this beautiful country, Oman. And this is my first public lecture, and I'm really happy to be here. It's been long overdue. And I always felt, after I heard about the goodness of the people of Oman, and after I heard about their character and conduct, and had the good fortune of interacting with some during my stay in the Middle East, it was always my wish and my dream to come and see for myself how this beautiful place is and how the people actually are. And for your information, as I spent the last few days here, I've been ticking every positive factor that I knew, and everything I knew was positive. So Alhamdulillah, congratulations to you. And really, if I had to choose a home besides where I was, perhaps Oman would be somewhere at the top of the list. The weather this evening is also extremely beautiful, mashallah. I think we're in the season where, you know, the goodness has just descended upon us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us also in every single way. My brothers and sisters, it's important for us to understand that the Almighty who created us, and this is a message that's powerful, it will stand up or out for those who believe, those who have a conviction within them that there is a greater picture than what meets the eye. Because sometimes when we speak to people, they fall into different categories. Some of them have no clue, or they don't want to know about what might come after they've died, or what was before they were born. If we don't think about where we were before we were born, and we don't contemplate over perhaps where we're going to be going after we die, then wouldn't you agree that we'd be at a loss? We'd be at a loss. I don't think any sane person would actually just think that the sophisticated human beings that we are right now, we can feel, we have emotions, we have intellect, we have technological advancement, we have so much, we have relatives, we have so much that belongs to us, so much that we can do. And like I say, the feelings we have, the brains we have, the faculties we have, do these all just come to an end? Or is there something beyond that? So in order to understand this, it's important for us to look into religion, to look into faith, to look into the scriptures. The scriptures of all faiths are very important to look into, not just the scriptures of Islam. But if a person is searching for the truth, it's important for them to know the truth based on what they've looked into, based on the studies, based on what they then believed firmly was correct. And this is why in Islam we always believe in questions. When you have a question, you ask it, no matter what it is. You ask it in a very respectful, polite way. You might get an answer that suits what you were looking for, or that is what you were looking for, and you might not. So you keep asking the question again and again. Our understandings differ. You might ask me a question, and that answer might be very different from another person who's also a Muslim. It depends on our understanding, and it also depends on the skills of communication. Some people make religion to be that which is impossible, that which is there to waste your time, to, you know, put hurdles within your life so that you don't enjoy life, the rules and regulations without purpose. That's how some people put religion across, while others enjoy practicing the beautiful teachings of faith, and they bring about lots of contentment and happiness, purity, morality, conduct, character, in a way that we reach out not only to the rest of the creatures of the Almighty, but even to the Almighty Himself. And we develop such a relationship that all the difficulties we face on earth, and by the way, every single person on earth will definitely face some form of hardship, difficulty, adversity, calamity, sickness. All this is part of the broader plan. But if we have that belief and that relationship with the Almighty, it's made very easy. It's made very easy. So the topic I was given to speak about this evening is connected to the prophets. The message of the prophets of the Almighty, a unified message. We all know that as Muslims, and I would suppose predominantly we're Muslim, but we're our brothers and sisters of other faiths are also more than welcome, because like you know, when we speak, the speech is not just for a specific religion, but it's for all of us. But if we're Muslim, we would definitely be able to look at the names of the messengers and relate with respect to all of them. If I were to say Jesus, for example, I'm not allowed to say the name Jesus without saying immediately after it, peace be upon him. It would be considered disrespectful. So when I say Jesus, may peace be upon him, Moses, may peace be upon him, David, may peace be upon him, Solomon or Suleiman, may peace be upon him, Ismail, may peace be upon him, and so on. You know, Joseph and Jacob, these are all the names in the English language. But if you were to say them in the Arabic language, I'm sure you heard the young student who recited the Quran earlier. With all the names of the prophets, almost 18 of them were read all at once, one after the other. And they were all in the Arabic language. The respect that we actually have for every one of them is such that we appreciate the fact that the Almighty sent them to us. So in order to know this message, let's go back to the beginning. We believe we were created by the Almighty in a unique way that He told us about. So Allah Almighty tells us, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Remember when the Almighty said to His angels that I'm going to place on the earth a vicegerent. I'm going to place on the earth he who's going to come one after the other, represent what I want him to represent on the earth. And there was a discussion between the angels and the Almighty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ. Indeed, we have created mankind from a specific type of soil and mud. The soil mixed with water. So this is the creation from the beginning of mankind according to us and according to Semitic faiths. We were created by the Almighty in a unique way. And the Almighty is the only one who chose how that would happen. When we look at what we were created from, the dust or the soil or the mud, all of that refers to stages of creation. There is no contradiction. If a verse says we were created from mud, another verse says we were created from sand, soil, dust, etc. All that is connected because different stages of creation. From the dust, if you were to add water, in a lot of it you would get the mud, etc. So the Almighty is telling us about how He has honored us. Even though we were created from dust. Imagine if I were to look at you and say, keep quiet, you're created from dust. That's silly. Keep quiet, you're created from dust. I mean, we would say, how could you say that? But I am created from dust, subhanAllah. Don't get insulted. And this is why there is a discrepancy and a difference of opinion when it comes to how a woman was created. You know, there was man and then a woman came into being and she was created by the Almighty. The Quran speaks about it. And I remember when one of the scholars was addressing the gathering about how a woman was created from Adam and from the first soul, there was a lady who got angry and said, no, I was not created from a man. So the scholar says, well, what were you created from? You have a choice. You either created from dust or you created from something living, you know, something dead or something alive. What would you like to be? And the bottom, meaning the point was that forget about what you were created from. Let's talk about who you are right now. Don't let that become a huge debate such that you lose focus where you're heading. I mean, okay, I believe in the verses and I will believe in the verses and I do know the Almighty has honored me. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. Indeed, we have honored the children of Adam. An honor. And this honor is not just for the Muslims, but for the non-Muslims, for the children of Adam. Everyone, those you agree with, those you don't, those whom you're at war with and those whom you're not. There is an honor, a dignity, a certain level of respect that is supposed to be accorded and afforded to those who are Banu Adam. And beyond that, it even goes to the animals and the other creatures of the Almighty. So when the Almighty created us, He didn't just leave us without a purpose. He wanted us to know why He made us. I mean, if you made, I'm just thinking about it now, if someone invented something, it wouldn't be a wrong question to say, well, why did you invent this? What's the benefit of it? What would you like from it? You know, what is it there for? So the Almighty tells us why He created us. But in order to let us know this, He did it through a unique system. What was it? He decided from the beginning that Adam alayhi salam will be given rules and regulations. Adam, the first of humankind, will be given rules and regulations. And he will be told to tell his children, what to do and what not to do. Now, if you look at it, myself as a father, and all of us here who are parents, wouldn't we guide our children to tell them what they should and shouldn't be doing according to us? Sometimes your children will agree, and unfortunately nowadays, a lot of the times they might have a little comment that would engage you in discussion before they agree or disagree, which is healthy. But at the same time, it's no longer as it was when I was a child, when my dad just had to show me his eyes. And that was enough, totally enough. I was just like, okay, that's fine, you know. It's no longer like that. Today you tell your child, please come here. Nah, I'm busy, I'll think about it. That's what's happening. But wouldn't we love it if our child could actually just listen to us? And we would never say something or do something, I hope we don't, say something or do something to the detriment of the child. We would love to see their success and their growth. So Adam alayhi salam, he taught his children, but unfortunately there was a little bit that happened amongst them that's mentioned in Revelation, not just in the Quran, but even if you go to the Bible and to the Old Testament, you will find it. The dispute between Abel and Cain, or Habil and Qabil, those were the children of Adam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in the Quran, He says, إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. When they had given the sacrifice in the name of the Almighty according to the teachings that were given to them, they sacrificed a sacrifice for the Almighty. One was accepted and the other was not accepted. So the one became jealous of the other and says, I'm going to kill you. If you sit and think about it in reality, how did he know how to kill when it was the beginning of the creation of humankind and it's the first murder, the first life that would be lost? How did he know? He was taught by someone. Who was that? That was Shaitan, that was the devil, that was Satan. So Satan taught the children of Adam to do that which was evil. So Allah sent to them messengers, one after the other, to remind them about their covenant unto the Almighty. What was this covenant? It's a very interesting covenant. To worship me alone. If you look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have only created mankind or jinnkind so that they worship me, so that they worship me. Now, when we look at this verse and we don't understand it, people begin to feel, oh, that's so boring. I've had young children who've come up to me and says, the Almighty created me to worship Him. That's boring. And I say, hey, hang on. Don't say that. Do you know what is meant by He created you to worship Him? Even your games, even your playtime, even that which is done in terms of leisure is actually an act of worship when the intention is correct. If you were to play a game cheating and deceiving people, wouldn't you be sinful? Well, then if you were to play the same game but without cheating and deceiving, perhaps you would earn a reward. It's converted into an act of worship. When you are spending time with your spouse, or in fact, let's word it a little bit differently, when you're spending time with the opposite sex in the wrong way, surely you would be sinful. So if you were doing it in the right way with your spouse, your family members, etc., the intimate moments that are permissible and encouraged, surely you would be earning a reward. So that is an act of worship. So when the Almighty says to worship me, what he means is to do what I've instructed, not to go against my commands, not to actually earn the wrath of the Almighty. Again, people might think, well, you know what, that's also a little bit boring. Why does he need me to worship him? For what? Well, there are certain things that you need to believe. Believe. Without belief, you won't really get to understand what the Almighty wants from you. If you look at the Quran, right at the beginning, the Almighty speaks about belief. And he says, he's describing the people who will benefit from revelation and the good people. And he says, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Those who believe in the unseen and they pray, they fulfill their prayer and they give alms to the poor, those are the successful ones. That's what the Almighty says. So in order for your prayer to be correct, you need to believe. If you don't believe in the unseen, you won't even want to pray. And for that reason, today on the globe, because materialism is taking over so much and so quick, people begin to forget that they have a hereafter to go to. They think that it's just these 60 to 70 years that we will live, enjoy, and that's it. I'm sure you've heard of YOLO, right? You only live once. That's what they say. So what they mean by that is just enjoy yourself. Do whatever you want during this time because you're not going to get another chance. Well, that's the wrong way of looking at things, because yes, you only live once now, but in this world. But in the hereafter, you're going to live the eternal life. The soul lives on. It will continue into the hereafter, into eternal bliss. And I am extremely hopeful in the mercy of the Almighty to forgive myself and yourselves and to be able to grant us that paradise that He has prepared for us, the one He has spoken about. I'm extremely hopeful and I have a lot of conviction within me that we will earn that paradise. Say Ameen. So the Almighty decided to send messages through messengers. And there are so many. وَرُسُلًا قَدْ قَصَصْنَاهُمْ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَرُسُلًا لَمْ نَقْصُصْهُمْ عَلَيْكَ وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah says, messengers whom we have related their stories about to you, and others whom we have not related to you about. Which means the Almighty has spoken to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the message is for all of us, about some of these prophets. And some of them, He hasn't told us about. There were so many. He hasn't given us the names of every single one of them. Perhaps they were in their thousands. So Allah says, we sent messengers. With what? Messages from us. What were these messages? I'd like to know. They were there saying to us, worship the Almighty alone. I ask you a question, my brothers and sisters. If someone created you, they made you, they brought you into existence. Today your heart pumps more than 130,000 times a day. He is the one. If someone has actually brought you into such existence that you can see, you can feel, you can speak, you can earn, you can spend, surely you owe Him something. What do you owe Him? You owe Him what He wants from you. You owe Him your entire existence, actually, because He made you. And guess what? He can take you away at any time. If you notice right at the beginning of my speech, I said, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. And then I referred to the creator, the nourisher, the cherisher, the sustainer, the provider, the protector, the curer, because that's who I worship. I worship the one supreme deity who made me. And that's the message of all the messengers. There was no difference in their message when it came to belief. When it came to matters of belief, there was no difference in their message. Not at all. They all taught worshipping one God. You worship God alone. Who is He? He who made you. So if you look at the term Allah in the Arabic language, it's from Ali Hayalahu, you know, the worshipped one, the one who is worshipped, the deity alone. Who do I worship? Who made me? Whom I'm going to return to? The one who has control of my existence. I will actually put my head on the ground for Him and Him alone. So when we pray five times a day, in a beautiful way, we put our head on the ground and we will say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. You can say various other statements of, you know, correct statements praising the Almighty. But you would generally say, Glory be to He who is the highest, my Rabb. Now Rabb is made up of three letters in the Arabic language, Ra and a double Ba, Rabb. But what it means He who has created, he is nourishing, cherishing, He is providing for you, He has nurtured you all along, and the one who's in control of you, He's my Rabb. That's the meaning of Rabb. He made me in the first place. So I'm declaring Him to be the highest. The highest. When I am telling myself, in front of you, I'm the lowest. I'm nothing. I'm absolutely nothing. Look at all of us seated here. I promise you, we're all the same. The same Almighty who made the wealthy from amongst us made those who perhaps are struggling financially from amongst us. We take a moment to pray for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help those who are struggling financially. Those who are well, meaning healthy as well, they were created by the same Maker. And those who are struggling with ill health, we take a moment to say, may the Almighty grant all those who are struggling with health cure. Ameen. So my brothers and sisters, don't we owe this deity, you know, our existence? Now comes a question after we say, yes, well, actually I do. Because if I'm going to go back to Him and I say, oh, you whom I'm going to go back to, when I go back to, when I come back to you, have mercy on me. What am I doing? I'm communicating with Him. Who is He? He is the one and only. Who made me? Whoever made me, subhanAllah, He is the worshipped one, the one who's owed worship. I call Him Allah. Allah, the worshipped one. Elohim, Eloha, subhanAllah. We're talking of the Hebrew language, for example. Referring to the one God, the one God. It's similar to the Arabic language, Allah. And He has many names and qualities, amazing, to understand who He is and what He does and what He has done and what He is capable of. The fact that we're in complete need of the Almighty, we wouldn't even have been able to attend here had it not been for the permission of the Almighty. And if I can explain to you quickly about that, I plan to come, you plan to come, but if the Almighty doesn't want us to be here, something else could have cropped up and perhaps we wouldn't have been here. So that's why we start off in the name of the Almighty, in the name of God. Why? Because in His name I'm here. I'm actually here in His name. He allowed me to come. When you talk to children, they say, how? I came myself. That's because they're children. They don't realize that, you know what? The energy you had was given to you by whom? By someone. It's not just yourself. It came from somewhere. It started somewhere. And the same applies when you have someone who has achieved something in life, whether they have authority, power, wealth, good health, whatever else. If we were to say, this is solely and only from me, we've lost what the messengers brought. Because the story of Qarun at the time of the Prophet Moses, may peace be upon him, is glaring in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he was such a wealthy man that, in fact, let me read for you the verse. The Almighty describing the wealth of this man Qarun. Allah says, وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ. We gave him treasures such that the keys, just the keys to those treasures were so heavy for a group of men to lift. Imagine what kind of treasure he had. Today, even the wealthiest from amongst us, I think he just has a little plastic card, right? Subhanallah, that he can swipe along everywhere. Imagine the keys to the treasures, how they were. Huge. Just the keys. Allah says, a group of men. And you know what was his sin? One thing. Just one thing. May Allah protect us from it. Ingratitude. He didn't show gratitude to the Almighty. He related it to himself. He says, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. All this that I have been given is only because of my own knowledge. But Allah tells him, don't you know who gave you the brain? Don't you know who gave you the understanding? If you come out first in class, mashallah, you need to thank the Almighty because He gave you the brain. There are others who may not be of that level of understanding or intellect. Everyone's level's different. So who gave it to you? The Almighty. Be grateful to Him. How are you grateful to Him? By worshipping Him, by thanking Him, by worshipping Him alone. He wants you to not to take risks in worship. If I were to worship things, or people, or sticks, or stones, or anything else, surely I'm taking a big risk, because purely from an argument's point of view, from, you know, if we want for argument's sake, if someone were to say, well, you know, perhaps this water might have created me, right? Astaghfirullah, I'm just saying it for argument's sake. Well, one might say, look, it's either right or wrong, maybe right, maybe wrong. Okay, the fact that there's a maybe in there, it's too big a risk. I'm only going to live once on earth. I need to have the right answer. I need to say, oh, you who made me, and stop it. That's it. Your qualities, what are they? You are the most merciful. You are the most beneficent. You are the most forgiving. You are the most kind. You are the most able, etc., etc., etc. But I'm not going to take a risk. I'm going to say, oh, you who made me, I love you. And I know you love me because you made me. And I know there is a reason for me to exist. And I know there is a reason for me to be here tonight as well. And I know that you are the one who's going to give me the contentment I'm searching for. And I know that all of us who are here on earth will go through problems and issues and difficulties because that's part of your plan. What am I doing? I'm not taking risks at all. When I put my head on the ground, I've said, glory be to my Rabb. What is the meaning of my Rabb? The one who made me. Glory be to He who made me. What risk have you taken? I haven't taken the name of a person. I haven't taken the name of a thing. I haven't. All I've done is I've said, oh, you who made me, you are the greatest. Oh, you whom I'm going to return to, you are the greatest. And this is why when we say Allahu Akbar, it actually has such a beautiful meaning. Unfortunately, today when you say Allahu Akbar, you know, people have become from among those who misunderstand meanings of terminologies that are abused by some. Unfortunately, there are some who blow themselves up and keep repeating this beautiful word in the wrong place. You know, Allahu Akbar actually means Allah is the greatest. The worshipped one is the greatest. The one who made me is the greatest. Indeed, He's the greatest. There's no statement that could be more true than that statement. The one who made me and made entire creation is definitely the greatest. So when we say Allahu Akbar, we actually commence our prayer in that way. We repeat that so many times a day as Muslims. We repeat it when it comes to the call to prayer. Because indeed the Almighty who made us is the greatest. But unfortunately people have misunderstood this. They've taken it to another level. Where today if you were to say Allahu Akbar somewhere in one of the Western countries, people might run away thinking, what's going to happen? I just heard a statement that's you know, terrible. Astaghfirullah, it's not. It actually has a beautiful meaning. The Lord's the greatest, the Almighty is the highest. So, speaking about the risk factor, there is no risk involved when you're worshipping the Almighty alone. But the minute you add and subtract, then there is a risk involved. And we live once, so we cannot take that risk. And this is why, if I were to say to anyone that if you worship the one who made you, if you put your head on the ground for the one who made you, you can never go wrong. Never ever go wrong. Because when you get to the other side after death, and this again is just to be explaining it to you. After I die, I'm going to go somewhere. Right? It's a matter of belief. The Quran speaks about it. The various scriptures speak about it. The hereafter. you will be taken account of all your deeds, the good and the bad you did, and the Almighty will forgive you. Or He may choose, you know, to do whatever He would like to you. Like I said, we should be convinced within ourselves regarding the mercy of the Almighty. But when you get to the other side, surely if you've been saying, "Oh, you whom I'm going to return to, have mercy on me," He's there. He's going to be there. I didn't take risks. I'm worshipping the one whom I'm going to return to. I'm worshipping the one whom I'm asking, He whom I'm going to return to have mercy on me. What risk did I take? But if, for example, I took a name of a person and I said, "You know what, this person, I'm going to return to him." When you get to the other side, you'll be surprised. He may not be there. I would tell you as a firm believer that He won't be there. Because the Creator is going to be there. The one who made you in the first place is going to be there. So this risk factor is what all the prophets addressed. So here's the verse of the Quran. Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ مِن رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ. There has never been a messenger before you, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, except that we have instructed him. He has said to his people, as per the instruction of the Almighty, that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, so worship him alone. In fact, the verse is worded in a unique way, where Allah says, we have instructed them to say, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is none worthy of worship besides me, so worship me alone. Worship me alone. That's the message. To worship Allah. And worship Him alone. So if we were to worship Allah alone, or our Maker alone, we have eradicated the risk completely. And we've entered into the fold of Islam. What's the meaning of Islam? People argue that, you know, Islam is a religion that started just a few centuries ago with the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In actual fact, Islam simply means to submit. If you submitted at the time of Adam, you were known as a Muslim, person who submitted. Now, I want you for a moment, my brothers and sisters who are Muslim from amongst us, to say to yourself, I'm going to translate the word Muslim, just for a moment. And I'm going to say to myself, instead of I'm a Muslim, I'm a submitter. And ask yourself, am I really a submitter? Because the reason I say that's so powerful is, it helps me to check myself. Am I really a submitter? Because in actual fact, you're saying, I submit. I submit. If I were to ask you, who is a Muslim from amongst you? We would be raising our hands. And if I were to ask you, who has submitted from amongst you? The same hands should be up, because that's the same meaning. Who has submitted? We would all say, I submit. Do you really submit? Okay, that's another question. That's another question. Because submission to the Almighty should bring about peace and comfort and contentment and beauty and elevation of character and conduct. You should be treating others with absolute respect. Even those you differ with, you treat them with so much of kindness, because you'd love for them to see the goodness that you've seen. So therefore you reach out to them. That is a true sign of submission. Submission to the Almighty never ever comes with hatred. And you know, this envy and jealousy and malice and dirt and the feeling within oneself to hurt people and to be violent, that's not a sign of submission to the Almighty. Submission to the Almighty comes with beauty. It comes with calmness. It's a sign that can be seen on the face of an individual. It's a calmness that is unmatched. And therefore, you and I would know, those who believe, when you have a problem and an issue, when you cry to the Almighty in prayer, you feel so good, even though it was just a 10-minute prayer and nothing has happened yet about your problem. You feel so good. Why? Because you have that conviction within you. That, you know what? My Maker is going to help me through this. And you know what? My Maker's put me through this for a reason. Amazing. So didn't belief help you through your problem, your issue? If a person doesn't believe at all, they would have issues and blame this and blame that. And when they have issues, they wouldn't even, you know, when they have difficulties and hardship, They wouldn't know where to turn. It would be a problem. It would be a point of so much of stress and depression. And yes, we are human beings. We could suffer at times. But if you believe in the Almighty, I tell you, it's so amazing, because when things happen your way, you say, Alhamdulillah. If I want something and it happens how I want it, what will I say? I will say, Alhamdulillah. All praise is due to Allah. But I want to teach you something tonight. When things don't happen your way, say Alhamdulillah even more. Because now they've happened the way your boss wanted them to happen. Your creator wanted them to happen. Imagine, if I missed my flight, I need to say Alhamdulillah. Oh Allah, I thank you. There must be a reason. There we are. Why do I thank you? I thank you more because I wanted to get on the flight. If I did, Alhamdulillah, I praise you. But now that I haven't, I know there's some plan you have. You're my boss. You're my maker. I'm totally at your disposal. Alhamdulillah. And then you get on with your life. Was I depressed? Was I stressed? Did I shout anyone? Did I scream? Did I yell? No, I didn't. Not at all. Not at all. I was a happy man. I smiled. Trust me, I've tried this. And I'm trying my best. None of us are perfect, including myself. We try our best to practice upon what we preach. And I've tried this where things go wrong. You arrive somewhere at a hotel and they tell you, sorry, there's no booking here. Oh wow, you start smiling. Say, well, let's check again. Try and look at it again. Well, can we make a booking now? And then they tell you no. And then you've got to leave the hotel. It's in a bit of an embarrassment and you've got to go somewhere else. But if you leave with a smile, the people are looking at you and think, this guy is crazy. He's not even angry, not even upset, you know. I remember arriving at a check-in counter with a lot of luggage. And I arrived and I looked at the lady at the counter and I told her, you know what, ma'am, I'm slightly overweight, but I'm ready to pay it. It's okay, fine. You just let me know how much it is. And you're the first person who's telling me I'm going to pay. A lot of people say, come on, it's 5 kilos, let it go. It's 5 kilos, let it, 10 kilos, let it go. I said, I'm going to pay. It's me, it's mine, it's extra, it's overweight, you know. And she looked at me and she said, well, I'll let it go. I said, well, it worked, didn't it? MashaAllah. So these things, you know, when you react, we actually make things difficult. If you're a true believer and you really believe, it will show in your character. It will show in the softness of your nature. Religion softens you. It doesn't make you hard. Your closeness to the Almighty softens you. It doesn't make you hard. Why? Because if you truly understand who the Maker is, you will definitely understand that that's the same Maker who made them as well. Who made this one and that one. Who made those I get along with, those I don't. Who made those who belong to the same faith and those who don't. Those whom I agree with and those who don't. They all belong to the same Maker. He made them for a purpose. I am just one from amongst all the creatures of the Almighty. Who gives me the right to become harsh against another creature of the same Almighty? But we still become hard. And this is why I always challenge people. I said, you know what? You pray 5 times a day. You read as much Quran. You probably engage in a lot of remembrance of the Almighty. You do. You give lots of charity. But if your tongue is not clean, and if you don't make the life of those around you good and easy and cool and calm to the best of your ability, then what's all that prayer about? Is it not hypocrisy? It's hypocrisy. You prayed all your life, you're reading the best statement, but after that you're saying hurtful words. Who is the person you're saying hurtful words to? It's either a child, a spouse, a parent, an uncle, an aunt, or a creature of the Almighty. Imagine, we're all supposed to be VIPs to one another because we were created by Allah. What makes me respect you? I fear God Almighty. I fear the Almighty. He made you. Surely He loves you too. Surely I need to respect you too. You have the eyes, you have the hands. I need to think about it that, you know what? The Almighty's made this person. I cannot swear them. I cannot be violent. I cannot hurt them. I cannot harm them. And this is why the Almighty speaks about saving lives in the Quran. And Allah says, وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Whoever saves one life is equivalent to having saved all of humanity. Where did that come from? It came from the message of the messengers. It's all part of worshipping one God. We are part of this beautiful, beautiful faith that worships one God. It's the messengers from the beginning. I was saying, at the time of Adam, They were called submitters, those who submitted. Later on, the messengers, whether it was Sheikh, may peace be upon him, whoever the other prophets were, there is a long list of names. Like I say, the Quran has named perhaps 25 of them in the Quran. There are several chapters named after some of these prophets in the Quran. All of them had one message. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. Remember when we sent Noah to his people? And what did he tell his people? Worship Allah alone, you have no deity, none worthy of worship besides Him, your Maker, your Creator. What happened? وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا فَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ. The same message. To Madian, we sent the Prophet Shu'ayb at the time of Moses. May peace be upon him, upon them all. Allah says, He told His people, O my people, worship the Almighty alone. What else? The Prophet Jesus, may peace be upon him, the Almighty says, He told His people, worship Allah alone.
مَا قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَمَرْتَنِي بِهِ أَنِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ.
The Quran says, Jesus, may peace be upon him, told his people that worship Allah, who is my Lord and your Lord, who is my Creator and your Creator. That's what the Quran says. So it's the same message. Those who agreed, they are called submitters. Those who followed were submitters. The same applies to Moses, may peace be upon him. That was the same message. The same applies to the people of Ad. Hud alayhi salam.
وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ.
Allah says, Hud, we sent him to the people of Ad. Subhanallah, alayhi salam. Allah says, what did he say to his people? He says, worship Allah alone. You don't have a deity worthy of worship besides your Maker, besides the one you're going to return to. Worship him alone. Any act of worship, render it to him and nobody else. Now comes a question. So how do I worship the Almighty? Well, I tell you, if I were to employ you and tell you, you're going to be working for me for a month, 2 months, 5 months, or you work for me, for a certain period of time, and I will pay you every month. First question is, what do I do? What do you want me to do? I'm going to come into your business. What should I do? So the boss, your boss, will tell you, I'd like you to sit here. I'd like you to manage this. I'd like you to achieve this. I'd like you to do this. And I'd like you not to do this. And what will happen? Trust me, 30 days from now, and every 30 days, money shall be deposited into your account. Wow. 20,000 Omani riyals. By the way, I have to say Omani riyals because I've learned that Omani riyals are far more valuable than just any other riyals. Right? 20,000 Omani riyals. The boss tells you, I need you to sit here, to stand in this way, to go here, to make sure this is done, to make sure that is done, and to do this and that, and don't do this and that. Month's time, every month, 30 days, you're going to get in your bank straight 20,000 riyal. What will you do? You must be thinking, where's the job? Tell me, I'm looking for it. I don't mind changing. I need a little certificate from the old boss of mine so that I can shift to this one here, right? Subhanallah, why are you so excited? Because you're going to follow these instructions that are very followable, very easy to follow, right? And even if they're slightly difficult, but I'm going to follow instruction to the T. I've got such a good job. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to try my best to fulfill this job. And I know for a fact this boss is such a good guy. He's such a wealthy guy. He's going to give me the salary. My brothers and sisters, we trust a boss who promises that if you were to do something the way I tell you to do it, I'm going to give you, trust me, believe me, I'm going to give you 20,000 riyals. But we don't trust the Creator of the universe when He says, just do what I told you to do and trust me. As soon as you close your eyes, I'm going to give you something that you wouldn't have imagined would be yours. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Have you seen this example? We are prepared to trust a human and sign a document to say after a month or a year or a week, if it's a weekly wage, So I'm working hard. And I'm expecting a salary. I'm expecting. And when I get the salary, how excited I am. And Allah is telling you, subhanAllah, that you know what? If you do things the way I want these things to be done, I promise you, you're going to get something way beyond your imagination. That which no eye has ever seen. That which no ears have ever heard. That which no one has even thought about. That's how beautiful it will be. Whatever you'd like will be yours. And we're ready to believe the one, and we're not ready to believe the Lord of the worlds. The one who created me. So this is where we need to start thinking, you know what? I will get a salary today, tomorrow, for 1 year, for 10 years, for 20 years. I'll be excited, I'll be using, I'll be spending, I'll have a car, I'll have a house, I'll have a wife, I'll have a life, etc., etc. And you know what? I'll have children, I'll have grandchildren. Then, close my eyes. Now what do I want? All your salaries and all your checks and all your jewelry and all your cars and everything else cannot join you in your tomb. They cannot join you in your grave. They will not even help you later on. Nobody can ever write a certificate and say, this man owned 3 billion. Just make it easy for him. Who are you addressing it to? What are you doing? So the messengers came to us to tell us, hang on, if you really believe in the Almighty, you would enjoy this life and you would consider every challenge an opportunity to prove yourself. When I qualify in a field, I've become an engineer. Life is about a challenge. I need to prove myself. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and this challenge, and I'm going to solve this matter and that matter, and my value begins to increase the more I show the world I've achieved. It's a challenge and I'm enjoying it and I get a salary in return. But when the Almighty puts challenges in our lives, then we cannot. We say, no, it's too stressful. I can't take this. It's too much. Because the belief is weak.
لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها.
The Almighty will never burden a soul with more than it can take. Suicide is never an option. Never an option. Why? Because the Almighty knows you can go through it. Come on. After the darkest hour comes the daybreak. You see the light. Wow, there's light. Finally, there's light. You smile. I've seen people who get so upset and they are not patient. And when you tell them, be patient, they say, I've been patient for so long. You know, you're digging. You're just a few centimeters away from the diamond and you're giving up. Come on, a little bit more. Let's push a bit more. Have hope. That is the belief in the Almighty. I have total conviction that the worst thing that would happen to me as a human, if belief wasn't within me, was death. But the best thing that could happen to me as a believer is that I succeeded on earth and now I'm gone to the next stage. Now I'm gone to the next stage that everyone has to go to. And this is why we as believers always say, it's not about when you die, it's about the condition upon which you die. If someone passed away at 20, another at 30, another at 50, another at 100, if the Almighty was pleased with them and the way they tried to do their job that He had actually sent them for, they have succeeded, all of them. It doesn't mean, okay, you were 20, you lost out on the worldly life. How many of us, sometimes we hear that someone died at a young age, and later on when we think about it, we think, wow, they were saved from all these problems and difficulties and issues that we're going through. I know of people who've asked me, is it okay if we don't have children? Because look at the earth, look at the globe, look at how bad the situation is. I mean, what type of kids are we going to raise here? Well, now I can tell them, shift to Oman, it's okay. May Allah make it easy for all of us. But people look, sometimes their situations are tough. You have to keep going, you have to keep going, you have to keep going. Just like you wouldn't like to lose a good job, you don't want to lose the happiness of the Almighty. You're going to be getting something grand and great. So these messengers came with the messages, and each time their people listened to them and adopted and understood, they were successful. And each time they didn't, the Almighty gave them some time, respite. Look at the time of Nuh, Noah, may peace be upon him. Even mentioned in the Old Testament, he called his people for hundreds of years. And according to some of the narrations, the maximum number that accepted his message in 950 years was just 80 people. 80 people. The Almighty told him, okay, you know what? You build an ark and you take with you all those who have believed. Because those who have not believed, you know, I remember young people are very creative in their thinking. So you get these questions, very innocent questions. So one youngster asked me, he says, you know, if the Almighty is so merciful, why did he tell Noah that just take the believers with you? Good question. He should have said, just take everyone with you, so that even those who don't believe could have been with. So I told him, the little boy, I said, look, I want you to go now to your school and tell the whole school that there is a boat that we are going to go into, and I want all of you to come. How many will come? He said, I don't think many of my friends will come. Firstly, they won't believe me. I said, so can you force them? No. But if those who believe that, yes, we're going to go to the boat, what will happen? He says, I'll take them. I said, that's exactly what happened to Noah. It's only the believers anyway. The others were laughing at him. They were laughing at him, Ya Nuh, sirta najjaran ba'da an kunta nabiyya. They used to say to him, oh Noah, you used to be a prophet. Now you've become a carpenter. What's happening here, man? You know, you became a carpenter. And they were laughing because his ark was built in this right in on land, not near the water. Normally, if you're building a huge ship, it should be closer to the water so that you can get into the water. But his was somewhere else. They said, this guy is surely crazy. But at the end of the day, the floods came, things happened. And all this, it's part and parcel of the plan of the Almighty. So Allah tells us, if you were to submit, you will see the fruit of it. All the messengers of the Almighty have been through difficulty and hardship themselves, including the Prophet Jesus, may peace be upon him. The hardship, the difficulty, the accusation that he faced, tremendous. We have lessons to learn from this. At the end, they tried to kill him, subhanAllah. They accused him. So much they did. The same applies with Muhammad, peace be upon him. They accused him, they tried to harm him, they prepared armies. But they were the best of people, they were the happiest of the lot. They were content. Do you know why? They knew within themselves, we're worshipping the one who made us. We're all going to return to him, whether we had or we didn't have on earth. And you're not going to escape hardship. The challenges have to come. Think about it for a moment. Everyone, even those whom you look at, because of Facebook or Instagram, and you look at them and you think, wow, this is the life I want to live. Trust me, if you were to live their real life, you would say, ah, let me go back to what I was. Man, it's cooler this side here. Because the life that people show us online is photoshopped, it's videoshopped, it's beautified. They just show you the food that they eat. Wow, ooh, these people are eating out every day, every day. I asked a certain person, someone, okay, wow, you guys eat so well, mashallah, I see these posts, I think it's not such a good idea to post your food every day online. So she tells me, no, those are just pictures that I've taken off off the internet. I said, you're not allowed to do that, but you know, it just makes me feel good. Makes you feel, so what do you eat? I hardly eat, I don't want to gain weight. So you're showing the world one thing. Look at the hypocrisy. You're pretending like you have the best life on earth. I remember when I went to England, to the UK, someone was telling me that, you know, there are people who actually go to these stalls, these huge, you know, designer shops, and they try out the shoes and the handbags and the clothes and busy taking pictures and photos, and then they put it back and then they go away. But what was the benefit? Well, that day on Instagram, oh, look at what I've got. Look at this and look at that. Come on. Why do we need to do that? The same applies to the men. Some of them will go to the showroom and pretend like they bought this car and the latest this, and you're sitting in the vehicle and you've taken the pictures and you've done everything. All that is going to depress you. Just lead a normal, general, happy life of contentment with what the Almighty has given you. You know, there was a scholar who was once asked a question about being happy. And the question was, why is it that some people have it easy and others have it difficult? Really hard. He says, wait. Tomorrow when we come back to the lesson, I want each one of you to bring on a piece of paper 10 difficulties that you're going through in your life. So the following day, each one of them came with a piece of paper and they wrote down 10 hardships that they had in their lives. He said, right, let's put it all into a box. They put it into a box. Then he says, now I want, he shook the box and he says, make a line and each one of you pick a paper. It's not going to be yours. And choose which one you want. So I've written my problems, I've written my issues, they're in the paper. You've written yours, they're in the box. He's written his in the box. So now the people came in, the one picked the one. He read it, he says, no way. Pick the other one? Not at all. Pick the other one? What are you doing? You're reading the problems of others and you're thanking the Almighty that, no, mine are easy, mine are okay. This is a little bit heavy, you know? And then, so the point he raised, he said, look, each one of you is saying, no, bring me back my own paper. I want my own paper back, because now this is reality. You wouldn't believe when you see me standing here what I might be going through. And you might be thinking, hey, this guy must be having a cool, easy life, you know. MashaAllah, he arrived there with this little police escort and wow, oh wow, that was just an honor from Oman. I wasn't even expecting it myself. And you must be thinking, wow, big man, big. Not at all. My wife always tells me, give them my number, they can know what's going on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. But it's a reality. We all go through our difficulties, our hardships. When you look at someone else's life, it appears so nice, so sweet, so good. But when you know what they're going through, you begin to realize that, you know what? It's actually the Almighty who's favored me. He's blessed me. Let's look at what we have been given. Let's not look at what perhaps we're going through in terms of challenges. Build on what you have and build your character, your conduct. All the prophets of the Almighty were trained by the Almighty with hardship. What type of hardship? مَا مِن نَبِيٍّ إِلَّا وَرَعَ الْغَنَمِ. You know what that means? There was never a prophet except that he was a shepherd at some stage in his life of a flock of sheep, real sheep. So what did the Almighty do? He trained his own messengers at some stage in their lives through taking care of animals and the flock of sheep, all the prophets, so that they could be patient and they could endure when it came to a greater message. You look at Jesus, he was a shepherd at the time. You look at the prophet Moses, he was such a great shepherd that when he got to Midian and he saw the ladies, you know, taking their time and sitting back, he said, why are you guys sitting back? Why don't you go and sort out your sheep? They said, no, you know, our father is an old man and we're waiting for all the others to go, you know. لَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُصْدِرَ الرِّعَاءِ. That's what the Quran says, that we are not going to take our sheep, you know, to drink water until the rest of the shepherds are gone. We'll sit and wait. He says, no, I'll do the job for you. Come, I'll do it for you. Look at the honor, how he honored the women. And that's one of our topics, inshallah, third day. And he says, I'll do it for you. Come, let's go. Don't be afraid. And he did it in such a short time. He was amazing because blessings from the Almighty. He was already trained in this regard. A wonderful, successful shepherd. What is this all about? Endurance. You've got to endure. I have to endure in life. All the messengers have actually taught us that we have to endure. Barakallahu fik. All the messengers have taught us that we have to endure. Subhanallah. I give you another quick example. You see, when it comes to us, many of us feel that we're going through tough times, we're going through a lot. But if you were to think for a moment, if you were to think about those who came a few decades before us, I promise you they had almost nothing compared to what we have. But they were happier. Yesterday, I had the good fortune of driving to Nizwa. And I met elderly people. Their marketplaces are so, you know, original. The olden days style. And they're happy, looking at each other, sitting with each other, drinking coffee, excited, greeting, and everyone smiling at you. That love, where's it gone? It's disappeared. Why? Because technology has taken over and everyone's become busy with materialism. If you look at the prophets of the Almighty, The Almighty loved them more than you and I. The Almighty loved the Prophet Jesus way more than you and I. May peace be upon him. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we say, أَفْضَلُ الْخَلْقِ وَأَكْرَمُ الرُّسُلِ, the best of creation, the most noble of all prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I promise you, had the Almighty wanted, the Almighty would have given him all the technology that we have. But he chose that not to be for him. Because the fact that you have technological advancement is not a sign of the happiness of the Almighty or the contentment of a human being. In fact, if anything, technology has made us less content. I remember there was a sister who was very depressed. And she came to me asking, what can I pray? What can I? And I gave her a good answer. And, you know, we try to reach out to the best of our ability. We cannot help everyone, but sometimes we could help a few. And some time later, when I met her, she told me, I'm much better. I said, oh, mashallah, that's great. She said, you know how? I said, what? I just got rid of my phone. And I was like, you got rid of your phone? She said, yeah. All my stress was about my phone. So you're happy with it? She said, very happy. And then she told me, if you want to encourage people to give up their phones, trust me, it works. And I'm like, ah, the minute I say that, they'll never invite me there again. Guys, give up your phones, you'll be happy. Come on. It depends how you're going to use your phone, right? We might want to revert back to the Nokia, the brick that we used to have many years ago, the Motorola, the old one in 1996. I don't know if some of you remember that. The old one used to flap, and it used to click and make a sound. And the only thing you could do was send an SMS and perhaps receive and make phone calls. Big thing like this. But subhanAllah, look, technology has made us depressed to a certain degree, to a certain degree, perhaps that's true. The point I was raising is the messengers of the Almighty are far more loved by the Almighty than you and I. But what did they have in terms of technology? I promise you, the water they drank was not from a tap. It was from a river or a well. The transport, mode of transport was not the lovely Mercedes that we drive today, but rather donkeys and camels and horses. They enjoyed it. When they went from point A to point B, that when they needed to cook, the fire was actually made in a different way. Up to now, there was no electricity. It was just, a fire that was lit in order for them to see the little lanterns. We have click switch. In fact, not even that. You can have a voice command. Some of you might have it. Voice command. On, off. Mashallah, the lights are on, off. And you say, come, see what I've got. On, off. I remember watching a clip of a guy who was boasting about his latest technology, and he tells the door open, and it opens because of his voice. And one day he came back from the dentist with a big mouth, oh, and it's not opening anymore. Oh, and it was raining, and the neighbors looking at him and saying, technology, right? Look at that. Some of you must have seen that clip, right? So it's a fact. We see these things and we start thinking, wow, as much as technology is so great, you know, but sometimes it can let you down. You'd rather go back to the original. Always have a plan B. But the others who didn't have it were much more content because they had real life. They were real people. They were true. They reached out to others. For me to talk to you, to sit with you. You know, I went to Nizwa. They told me it's approximately an hour or more than an hour away from here. And I was thinking to myself, you know, we'll see the places and all that, and I hope we'll pass the time quickly. The weather was good. Everything was on our side. So mashallah, when I arrived there, the hospitality was on another level. I promise you, another level. I'd have to talk to you, you know, give you a whole speech about it. And I'm thinking to myself, we felt so good because we interacted with real people. We sat with them, we heard from them, we saw the expressions on their faces, we felt their happiness, we shared their joy, we hugged each other, and we went away feeling like if we had the time, we could have stayed here longer. We've actually replaced it with WhatsApp. We've replaced all of that with WhatsApp. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. May Allah open our doors. So, as you can see, the messengers of the Almighty were not given all of this, although they were more loved by the Almighty. So that goes to show that it's all about the contentment. It's not about what you have in terms of materialistic items. Even if you have less, you can be a happier person. And even if you have more, you can use it to earn the pleasure of the Almighty. Those from amongst us whom the Almighty has blessed, thank Him for it by worshipping Him alone. By worshipping Him alone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. I've spoken for more than an hour. And inshallah we're moving on to the second part of this evening's program. Jazakumullah khair. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I look forward to seeing more of you inshallah tomorrow. Aqulu qawli hadha wa assalamu alaykum.